Good morning again. We've got our guests in the studio now. We've got Ingrid Leary and Kylie Matthews with us this morning, going to talk about their Waiheke Youth Initiatives and a bit of a wrap-up, I hope, on the Waiheke Comedy Debate. Good morning, Kylie. Good morning, Ingrid.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Now, just a little bit of background on our guests this morning. Both seasoned journalist Ingrid Leary. You've had an interesting background, Ingrid. You've been on television yourself, and you've been a director, and now you're acting chair of the local, the Waiheke branch of the Labour Party. Kylie, you're, of course, a candidate, an independent candidate in the upcoming election, and you're very involved with the Save Kennedy Point. It's great to have you both here, but today, of course, we're talking about your Waiheke Youth Initiatives. Now, how did you two come together to become involved with this?
I think both of us recognise that there's a need on the island just through our contacts and our personal relationships. I've got young children who've grown up. They went to the bilingual unit. I still see them as babies. Now I'm starting to see some of them getting into trouble. Others of them are doing well. It feels like there's some gaps in our community where we could do better. And so I just approached Kylie and said, you know, Treaty, she's a Māori woman, she's an advocate, she's got a long history of advocacy and Greenpeace and activism. So do you want to partner with me on this so that we can come up with some ideas that are holistic and that also honour a treaty approach?
So, yes, I didn't mention your Greenpeace activism, but you're a parent, Kylie?
No, and that's usually the reason why I've got so much time to...
So much time and energy.
Yes, to put into the youth COPA, but I know a lot of my friends have children, and I know that they're busy doing their roles and raising them and keeping a roof over their head and just looking after them. That's where I thought I could step in and help from my point of view.
What did you see as the gaps, both of you? Kylie first. Where was the gap that you've stepped into?
I just saw that there was nothing for them if they didn't fit into the school system. So it was looking for ways of having alternative skill sets on the island so that they can get involved.
Yeah. And what are those alternative skill sets that you're offering?
So we're hoping to have a mentorship that we can gather people. There's a whole lot of people doing really amazing stuff on the island with youth, but it's about bringing us all together and then maybe looking for where these kids best suit. I mean, we've got a beautiful natural environment that needs a lot of protecting, and we've also got pest control and things that need to work at. So we thought about those kind of initiatives where they might suit some of the children that just don't suit the school system.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. Ingrid?
The other part of it, I guess, is that I'm really mindful just from the work I've done around development that even with the best of intentions, sometimes we can forget about the voices of those who are benefiting from interventions. And while there's a lot of really good work going on, I think quite opportunistic work, what I would like to see, what we would like to see is a systematic approach and a strategic approach. And to do that really well, we need to have a baseline. So we need to understand what's working and what's not working. Nobody's done a kind of formal baseline, and we need to put the youth voice at the centre. Right. And that's a professional piece of research that needs to be done in a dignified and professional way so that we don't jump to conclusions about what we think the answers might be, that we're actually informed by evidence.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And one of the main things you've been working on at the moment is you've had the Great Waiheke Comedy Debate. That was an extraordinary initiative. You pulled together the likes of Carol Hirschfield and, I mean, goodness me, that was a stellar lineup. How did it go for you?
We pulled in a lot of favours, I think, over a long time. It did come together very well.
Your television background, Ingrid, I suspect.
It was really great because it did feel like it had a diversity kaupapa. It was reflective of the way that Kylie and I work together, which is we're all about diversity and inclusion. And we also had a lot of very generous sponsors, and we're just so grateful that the island, I think people recognise there is a youth need, and Waiheke Resort in particular really came to the party. So what the outcome of of that evening, apart from a good time, was we felt that for the ticket price, which was expensive, but between $100 and $130, depending on how you bought it,
yes,
most people, I think, got really good value, and everybody's talking about doing it again next year. So that's what we'll work on.
And, of course, the main fundraiser on that occasion was for the Kapa Haka group to go to Hawaii next year.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that was the secondary one. So we had originally paid them a fee of $1,000. We were able to bump that up to $3,000 because the auction went particularly well. People were very generous. But the balance of that money will be going towards this baselining research work. And we're also talking to Living Waters and to other groups on the island. We don't want to spend the money in a hurry. It's sitting in a little putia there waiting, and as we coordinate and consult with people, then we will be able to target those funds effectively, because we're really, really clear that this is not about coming in and trying to do something different. We see ourselves as a convener, and there's a lot more expertise in what we have, but we want to bring all that expertise together.
Right. Who else do you see bringing on board with this? Will you be working with the local schools, or are you the Marae?
Yes, the Marae. They do quite a lot of good initiatives down there with youth already. It's everybody that is doing stuff with youth. So parents, a lot of parents that don't really know what is the next step. Fred, hopefully, with our he is the forefront of the rangatahi at the moment, where the parents go to if they need help with him. And so, yeah, those types of people.
And there was formerly a classroom for young people who had been expelled from school. Is that still in operation down at the...
It's not an operation, but we've looked into that research, and there was a decision made at some point that it was felt it was better for people to all be under one roof. That was possibly the right solution at that time, but I definitely think it's worth revisiting, because our understanding is there were some really good outcomes from that, and sometimes it is about the environment for some of these young people. So if something has been done before and done successfully, then our view is that's a cost-effective thing that we need to be reconsidering. So everything really is on the table for this.
Yes. Previously, I mean, I know when that started, I was one of the teachers, actually, when it first started. And there were only half a dozen kids doing correspondence in a protected environment. And for many of them, it was a great outcome.
But, you know, one of the things that, for example, there seems to be a very big focus on literacy, and so doing alternative education with literacy. Now, some rangatahi are never going to achieve those basic literary skills, but do they really need them if they're out trapping possums and doing trapping or doing things out in the environment? So I think we need to rethink our assumptions about what education means and what skills and participation mean, and make it relevant for today and for this island and this community.
And what we find in those instances is often that people return to more literacy or numeracy-based education at a later time when they find they need those skills to move on. And, and that's the whole message that you're behind your initiative. It is youth-led.
Bringing them to the centre of any discussion that we do have about them.
Yeah. And also, there's a saying, nothing about us without us. What's great with Kylie's connections is that it's not just youth-led. Within youth, there are a number of, there are obviously lots and lots of individuals, but there's diversity within youth. So we want to make sure that we are taking into account the Pacifica background, Asian background, Māori background, and the treaty, and gender, sexuality, all of the individual things that may be barriers for somebody not being able to achieve. And on the outside, it's quite difficult sometimes for adults to understand, or anyone to understand, why someone else is not reaching certain outcomes. But by having an inclusive and a very diverse and inclusive approach, we want to be able to make sure we're responsive to each of those kids. We don't want anyone falling between
through
the gaps. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. We're seeing kids falling through the cracks.
Yeah, and you both clearly believe that Waiheke is a wonderful place to raise a family. That's not always a widely held view. There's a lot of parents who don't feel that the education is a particularly good one here. They send their kids off to school. What's your response to that? You obviously believe that we're all raising these children together. Takes a village to raise a child, the old cliche, but clearly you both believe in Waiheke.
Yeah, I think it's a great community. I mean, not I'm not really involved in the school system at all, but I'm involved in the community, and I see the parents and the children separately. And, you know, it's like you relate to them and you're like, hey, you know, what are you doing? You just make sure that they're held accountable for their actions when you do see them.
I've probably got some radical views about education anyway. I don't really think the school system these days is necessarily the primary place for learning. So I've watched my own children really flourish learning. My son's a champion beatboxer. He got that off the internet. So, you know, we've got this incredible environment, and it is an amazing place for kids to learn and flourish. And school is a part of it, but I don't think it's a be-all and end-all.
So we have to, in a way, drop those silos where individually people are all doing different things and work out a way to pull in the different people for each child and address their own particular needs, goals, whatever.
Exactly, yeah. That's the whole kaupapa of the Waiheke Youth 2020, definitely, is to be inclusive and bring everybody in together to help with these solutions.
Oh, I just love it. I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. Look, thank you both very much for coming in and talking about this. Kylie, what would you like to wrap up with, anything?
Yes, so we've got our local board coming, votes coming up soon, and, you know, just like to get everybody involved in voting and make sure that you have your say and choose smart and choose wisely.
And Ingrid.
Yeah, really a big shout out to the rangatahi, if anyone's listening, or parents, to encourage their children to enrol. If they're 18, they can vote. If we want things to change, they need to be involved. And think about how you use your five ticks. If you're really keen on particular candidates, limit yourself to those candidates because your vote will have more power. So think through your voting strategy rather than just doing the sort of, I call it the vomit vote, which is just ticking five names. Think carefully, because if you just put a name down because you recognise it, you're actually maybe, you know, disempowering or not changing something that you might actually feel you're changing with another tick. So vote smart.
Yeah, great. And we can all have the community that we want. Thank you again to you both for coming
in. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.